Wednesday Ches Cheshvan. Shari Yichud HaMaisu Chavis HaLavas Ladies here.
Okay.
I always need this just to be able to say where it is. I have to buy one just to have it.
Okay. We're learning Chavis HaLavas Shari Yichud HaMaisu. We're in Perek Hey. And he's going through different enticements of the Yetzer Hara. That's what the bulk of Perek Hey is about. He went off onto a subject. He went off onto when people do things, if it's new, you should be suspicious. And a lot of times the Yetzer Hara tries to make you feel frum. And I don't know, where are we up to? What page? I can't find.
502.
What?
502.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so we'll start from the third paragraph on page 502. Ach im Tireh. He says, what is perfectly legitimate is if you want to take on chumras, if you want to do things that are new, but you want to take on personal chumras, you could take on personal chumras either to be machmir, you're aware, let's say, that there's a either in halachas, you're aware that there's a higher standard, and you take on the higher standard, even though maybe you're aware that halachically it might not be necessary, but it's a chumrah. There's such a thing called a chumrah in halacha. Halacha is not black and white mamish. We like to think of it as black and white mamish, but it's not. There are either gray areas, or there are Suffolk areas, or there are things where the Mishnah Berurah says, and it's, you know, mimachmer. So you could take on chumras, and even if you say, well, and some people come and say, like, let's say the show, for example, you say, well, our forefathers never did that. So never blew shofar for 2 hours after davening to be choshesh for all the different shitos, what's a trua, and what's a tkia, and what's a shvarim, and, you know, there's a normative halacha, and that's enough. What do you have to do more? And so sometimes it's legitimate, and sometimes it's not legitimate, and this is where he's going to talk about motive. It depends what your motive is, how sincere your motive is, how erlich your motive is, and that's going to, sometimes you do things, you do it in private. You don't do it publicly because, you know, and that's the litmus test of seeing, you know, how sincere you are. So sometimes people take on chumras as spiritual one-upsmanship. They want to show that they're frumer than the other fella, or they just want to project a certain image of a frumer, Yirei Shemayim, and they don't mean it erlich. And but conceptually, we'll go in order now. We'll learn the text inside. He's saying conceptually it's okay to do things that were not done in previous generations if they are chumras. Now, again, I'll throw in now, sometimes even that's not true. Even if you meet all of the conditions he's going to say about what your motivations are, etc., but sometimes the very act of you doing something is casting aspersions on the way Klal Yisrael does things. That's one of the controversies about the shofar example that I tell you. That's a big thing. I'm in that world. Because there it's a chumrah, and it's a chumrah that's nogea la'halacha. It's a chumrah that's nogea la'halacha, like, you know, to be yosef in the shofar. And I know that the normative halacha is this way, but I want to be machmir. So that would be legitimate. That's the type of thing he's talking about. What some people come back with a taina is that even if you mean an erlich, and you don't make a big fanfare, and you didn't put out a kol kore that no one's being yosei tkiya shofar, and shomu shamayim, and it's so terrible, and Klal Yisrael and the world is so lucky to have you there, because you have figured out the real way to pronounce a komatz or a cholem, and you figured out the real way to pronounce the aleph beis. You know, I have like a lot of, I know like a bunch of people, they figured out how to pronounce a gimel and a or, o, u, e. And so sometimes you cast aspersions. So that becomes a reason not to do it. Again, you're not in that world, but that's like in the shofar conflict, that becomes an issue. That by doing so, you're making a statement of, it's like you're casting aspersions on Pierce Doros. And there's already a set way to blow shofar, and you know, what are you doing? So even when you do a chumra and you meet all of his attitudinal qualifications, you do it lishma, you mean it sincerely, you're not trying to get kavod, you're not trying to play one-upsmanship, but still there might be a reason to refrain. You know, you hear sometimes, again, I hear this stuff because of the position I'm in, you say, you hear that with bugs, which is, you hear it, I hear it, you know, but you have to check bugs, but I never used to check bugs, but that's an absurdity, because with bugs, they're either there or they're not there. So if they're there, you got a problem. It's not a halachic, it's certainly not a halachic point that they didn't do it in previous generations. And also they stopped using, thanks to Mrs. Rachel Carson, they stopped using DDT, so that really affected the hospitability of crops to bugs. So they're there in the water in New York City. Yeah, there's bugs there. What are you going to do? I mean, they're there. You can't deny that they're there. But that becomes an issue. In the Gemara, you have by Gittin, sometimes it's an issue. You know, how to spell a certain name or how to write a certain city in a get. And they just had rather in Lakewood, they came and they say it should be written differently. The way you know, there's a very legalistic way to write the name of the city. So there was a big controversy, again, in my world at Lakewood, that they said it really should be done differently than the way it's being done. And you know, it's brought down in halacha that you have to be like really, really, really sure that it's a mistake before you change anything, because you're casting aspersions on, you know, previous ones, and which is a disaster to do. So, you know, sometimes in halacha we let sleeping dogs lie. But again, all these things are shikulim that have to be made, because if it's like I said with the bugs, no one's going to. They do say it, but they shouldn't say it, because if the bug's there, it's there. Saying that they never used to check for bugs doesn't cut it. It's just, it's not rational. So you know, I don't know if Rav Moshe drank bugs or not, and I don't care. I don't want to drink bugs. I'll let Davis to deal with Rav Moshe. You know, Rav Moshe doesn't need me to defend him, and this is. If there's a problem, you have to deal with the problem. You can't just say, oh, they never used to check for this. It's ludicrous to think that there's a problem. Yeah. That's already Shlav 2. Shlav 1 is that if there's a problem, there's a problem. And certainly you can't just irrationally assume there's no problem. Anyway, he says, so it's okay to take on chumras. Number one is achar shetamalei chovel sechom in hamitzvus. Achem tira lekavel al atzvichom mitosefes horishus v'mitzvos mashetuchal achar shetamalei chovel sechom in hamitzvos. So he throws this in like casually, but that's a very, very important point. Very important. Don't take on chumras until you are satisfied, until you're convinced, until you're sure that you're fulfilling your obligations. People sometimes take on chumras and they're still sorely lacking in, it's like someone that would say, I'm going to say Tillum every day after davening for 10 minutes. But meanwhile, they're not doing their obligations in tefillah. Either they should be davening more, or they're not having proper kavona in Shmona Esrei, and meanwhile they're taking on chumras. Don't take on chumras till you're sure you're fulfilling your basic obligation. That's number one. La'avas chesed, and here the word chesed is from the word chasidus, meaning make sure you're sincere, and that's sincerely why you want to do it. You want to serve Hashem better, you feel Yirat Shamayim. This is discussed in Shari Tshuva and in other Sfarim, that taking on chumras might be a sign of proper Yirat Shamayim, and that should be the motivation. The motivation of taking on chumras, as I said, it should not be, hopefully it's not kavod, hopefully it's not one spiritual one-upsmanship. What should it be? It should be a sincere attempt to serve Hashem better. To serve Hashem, Yirat Shamayim, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a geder. If I know that a certain mode of behavior leads to something else, and that leads to something else, and before you know it, I'm who knows what, doing who knows what, so I make my own geder. I make my own, you know, asusyog the Torah, so I make my own siyog. That's a type of chumrah, or it could be a type of chumrah where I want to serve Hashem better. I decide even if this is mutter to eat, but I don't really need it, and I'm really just enjoying it, and so I decide to refrain from it. You don't have to, right, refrain from it. Adarabah, you could even use it in your avodas Hashem. If you could put it aside for Shabbos, you could make the bracha on it with more kavana, because you really enjoy this, so you are more intensely thanking Hashem for creating this Napoleon or whatever strikes your fancy. You could, but you can also use it to exercise your self-control muscle and say that's the type of thing he's talking about. You know, this is mutter to eat, but I'm going to be machmir. I'm going to do something extra. So first of all, wouldn't that be ludicrous if the person that did that is not careful about hashgachas? That's what it says. Like, here you are flying and you're taking on chumras and you're not going to eat dessert for the next 2 weeks except on Shabbos. You're not going to eat dessert, but meanwhile you're eating things of a questionable hashgacha. See, the first check that your base is okay before you take on extra things. Number two, check your motivations, which is not an easy thing to do. But as I always say, I'll say it again, you have to have the koach of introspection, it's very hard to improve yourself, oneself, in the area of chovos halvavos if you're not able to be introspective and to examine yourself critically, maybe with the help of a friend, maybe with the help of a mentor, maybe with the help of a rav, to examine your actions in a more critical way, and, you know, what is my real motivation for that? Sometimes it can be a little ugly sometimes, and you don't want to really face your motivations. That's why over the decades of my life, I've become more okay with the idea of going to a therapy. Going to a therapist. A therapist can be very self, can help you very much explore things that really help you mussar you should do. And I'm not saying everybody should go to a therapist, but I think everybody should, by the way. I mean, it's like I compare it to a car getting a tune-up. You know, every car on the road needs a tune-up. So every person can use a tune-up. But in things like this, you know, you want to be introspective. I mean, don't let anybody find out, not if you have a daughter in Shaduchim, but, it could be very helpful. It could be very helpful to explore motivations, and it can turn out that you have some sort of competitive urge, or maybe, you know, you lack in self-esteem, which seems to afflict 98% of the population, apparently. So you want to show that you're really from, hey, I'm as from as the next person, and you do chumras, and so that's not good. So that's number two. Number one is make sure your base is solid. Don't do extra things before your base is solid. Number two is your motivation, and hear it. Your motivation has to be good, and the Chavis HaBodah says in other parts of the Sefer that for better or for worse, your motivation has to be more pure than when you have obligations. Because if your motivation in doing your basic obligations is not so kosher, so that's not the greatest, but you know, you gotta do it. So maybe whatever works, or we could look aside, or hopefully you'll get better. But if you do the extra with the wrong motivation, the Chavis Aldo says many times, that's bad. So don't do me any favors, Hashem says. Don't do things that are humorous, and don't take on extra things if your motivation is not pure. So then you just, that's not a good thing. You should not do that. Now again, in Ben Odom Lachavero, maybe I wouldn't say that so fast. If you take on extra chesed, and you really are helping people, and your motivation is for kavod, I'm not going to say so quickly that you should stop doing it, because there you're actually helping people. So that might be a case where I wouldn't tell you to stop. But in general, though, the motivation, you have to... It's more important to have the proper motivation if you're doing extra. Achar shiyeh b'maskim sichlecha, you have to see it's a rational thing to do. Sometimes people do things that make them someone in the shul started wearing a talis by mincha. So I said, what are you doing? So he says it helps them have more kavana. Utaf patalis. Men don't wear talis by mincha, by the way. I told him, I don't take it off. He says, why? I said, because people are looking at you like you're nuts. And there's a mitzvah not to do things that make people look at you like you're nuts. So here was my source, was the Chavis Halvavus. That it has to be a rational. It shouldn't be, you know. It shouldn't be something. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says it by creation. Mishnah Berurah himself. He's talking about, you know, you're supposed to think a bunch of things by Echad, the four corners of the world, and Shemayim and Oretz, and really, you're supposed to move your head in those directions to aid in Kavona. But the Mishnah Berurah says, you know, if you're in public and people are looking at you, don't do things that are going to make. They're going to have people make fun of you. You're just being machshel them in an isser of making fun of someone. And in general, don't do things that make people look at you like you're strange. As I said, there's a mitzvah not to be. You want to do it privately. Don't do it, people. First of all, your motivation is suspect once that, because you say, wow, look how firm he is. You know, but also, that in itself is a value. Not to, you know, you want to, what I say by Shmuel, Zera Anoshim. You want to be a regular person. That's something that's a value in itself. Okay. V'rochok mita'avoscha. Make sure it's not something you want to do too much. As I said, either out's covered or out's one upsmanship. And it's interesting, Lashon. Make sure that this extra chumah you're doing is rochok mita'avoscha. That you don't have too much of a gishmak in it. If you have too much of a gishmak, then usually it's indicative of not a good motivation. Yiyatov. So all this was a segue. You know, his main point is that's okay to do. To take on chumras is okay, even though you're not following in the paths of your forefathers. He just throws in what you have to be careful about when you do that. Be careful that you're being memale, your basic obligation. Be careful that you're not doing it with the wrong motivation, but you have a sincere motivation. And then it's good. Now he's going back to his main point. You're not veering from the Das HaRishonim, because they also encourage doing extra things. Sometimes your chumra is a siog. People can make their personal siyogim, right? I know that this kind of behavior leads me to something else, which is usur. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay away from the thing that's perfectly legitimate. The omru b'neimah charva Yerushalayim that they shemidu divrayim al din Torah v'lo also lifnim mishuras hadin. A fascinating interpretation. Normally, when you learn that Gemara, you learn it's purely talking about b'nadu machaveiro. And emidu divrei al din Torah means I'm right and this is the din, and you don't do lifnei mishurus hadin. You don't give a guy space, you're not mevater, you don't let him do something that technically your neighbor, you could stop him from doing it, but you know, you let him do it, you do lifnei mishurus hadin. That's a simple meaning of the Gemara. He's taking it to be more like of a basic principle that the Torah encourages you to go beyond the basic obligation. We are certainly used to the idea. When I say we, I mean those who have learned Shara Avodas Elokim in the Chayvus Halmodas know that it's certainly correct, because one of the things he says about being motivated by, you know, not the robotic following orders, but doing the mitzvahs, and because of the Chodesh HaLevavos Shebohem, he says, so he goes through the qualities of the Torah was given with rules, and we follow rules. And then he says, but you want to be Obed Hashem with your heart, and you want to go beyond the rules. You want to take the principle of the rules and expand them. And he makes a list of why it's important to have rules. You can't just say everybody should go to a mountaintop in India and commune with Hashem. You can't just say that. But then he talks about, and he actually says what I'm about to say. It's like, sounds strange. He says, if you remember, he says in Shabbat again, the mitzvahs are limited. Mitzvahs are limited. Tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's one night, 6 hours, and I have to eat chicken soup there in the middle also somewhere. And I got to eat moror, and I have to listen to my kids say manashtana, and sometimes you have to listen to your grandkids say manashtana also. And I have to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you're not really limited to those hours. Those are obligations. Chayvus Halavos means you could sit in the, you know, you could always think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, use it to increase Yirat Shamayim, use it to increase gratitude to Hashem. That's really what the Chayvus Halavos would want us to do. He says mitzvahs are limited. They're limited to time, to space, to date. They're limited men, women. Once you've expanded into Chodesh Halvavos, then there are no gvulim. Then there's way more than 613 mitzvahs. There are, he quoted a pasuk in Tillim, by David HaMelech, I forgot the pasuk, mitzvahs are limitless. He says they're not limitless, 613 mitzvahs. They're limitless once you step up to Chodesh Halvavos. They're limitless. So he's expanding that idea here too, I feel, that even though, again, when you read this Gemara, the Neimah Chorba Yushalayim, the Neishamidu Devea Maldin Torah, Lo Asu Lefnim Mishuras Adin, when you read that Gemara, you think of another Machaveiro, and you think of, like, very, you know, strict people, but he's expanding the idea, and he's making it into a general Klali thing, that you should not stick, you should have Chumras, you should have things of personal. You know, you're not allowed to do this, but either it's a siyog or it's something I'm going to serve Hashem. You know, personal matters, and in a way, it's much more personal between you and Hashem. You know, the Torah is one size fits all. You know, everybody's eating matzah Pesach night. Doesn't matter what you're feeling. It doesn't matter how much you appreciate Yetzias Mitzrayim. Doesn't matter. Everybody's eating matzah. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's doing that. And they say, well, where does a Jew find space for personal expression if there's so many mitzvahs that you have to do and you're not allowed to do? Where's the personal expression in all of this? But someone who learned Shara Avodas Elokim, here he just says a few words, but when we learn Shara Avodas Elokim, he says, and he totally agrees with that sentiment, the Chayvus Halvavos. He says, that's the real Avodas Hashem is to be found in Chayvus Halvavos. What people have always erred and made a terrible, tragic mistake is to skip over Chovas Eivorim, to skip over the robotic rules. So, as I say robotic, you shouldn't do it robotically, but you could fall into that pattern. But that's good. It's a necessary stepping stone, but it's talking about the goal. The goal is to be like Avraham Avinu, he says. Well, I don't know if he says it, we explained it. The goal is to extrapolate the values of the mitzvahs and to apply them. Just don't make the mistake of thinking that you could therefore do away with the technical mitzvahs because you just have to be a good Jew at heart. And that's a tragic error, and we went into that at length in Shara Avodas Elokim. V'omru amar Rav Huna kol osek b'Torah b'levad Dome Kamishain Lo Eloka, very harsh word, Shinemar, Vyomim Rabam Li Yisrael, Lo Elokeemes, Halamadat Vashain Elokeemes, Elabator of Gemilus Chasodim. So here he does talk about Gemilus Chasodim, and I guess, you know, Gemilus Chasodim, it's very hard to ever pinpoint that I have an absolute obligation to do chesed. It is almost always something I do b'nedava. I think it's pretty rare to have a scenario where I could say, like, you have to take challah and you have to put up a mezuzah. Okay, here's the case, you must do this chesed. You're absolutely mechuyev to it. It's very hard. There's always other people, and you're busy with your own life, and it's almost never an absolute obligation. It's something we do b'nedava. It's something that we serve Hashem, and we want to be good people. And that, ironically, turns out to be more than more choshev. So when we talk about doing chumras, he like throws in chesed almost always as a chumrah, because it's something that we do, but a diva slave, we want to emulate Hashem. That is the best reason to do chesed. You could feel sympathetic or empathetic towards the person, but it's rarely a mission obligation for various technical reasons. Okay, v'amar echad mana chasidim, mi she'ein lo tosefes ein lo chova, but ve'ena tosefes miskabeles achi tipora hachova. So we learned that already. That's what we've been saying. He's saying, if you don't have chumras, you're really going to have trouble. If you think you're going to go through life just getting by with the minimum, and you're not going to extrapolate at all, and you're not going to make your own siyogim, and you're going to end up imparting to your children the attitude that the Torah, I told my kids once, it was good. I think it's the only thing I ever told them that they remember. I said, there's people that live life, you know, like Goyim. They want to live life. They want to have a normal life. Forget the word like Goyim. It sounds pejorative. They want to live life. And there's 613 problems that they have to overcome. And that's how they look at the Torah. That they look at the 613 problems, issues. So you find your way. You want to eat this. You get a good hashgacha. You want to do this. You can find your way around everything. Or sometimes you can't do it because you can't get around it. But it's a problem. And that doesn't leave room for chumras. Such people don't take on chumras. And they don't go beyond the letter of the law. And so he's saying, aim, and the center won't hold. That's why you make a siyog with Torah. The more real the obligation is in terms of its spirit, and therefore you'll extrapolate and do chumras and you know, or whether it's general Yirah Shamayim. As I said, chumras is indicative of Yirah Shamayim many times, hopefully. So Yirah Shamayim is something we all want to be kone, and we all have to have, whether we do the chumras or not. I would imagine that a Yirah Shamayim will be doing chumras because they're afraid that they got it wrong. It's not the exact case. Maybe it's also to do. They're not sure. So instead of saying, it's probably mutter, it's probably okay, they'll say, no, I'm not going to do it. But ve'ena tosefes miskabela sacha tipora hachova. Hashem's not interested in your korban adava if you didn't bring your obligatory korbanos. So this is what we live with, this juggling act, so to speak. Don't take on chumras till you're sure you're doing everything right. So you say, okay, so maybe in my next lifetime I'll do chumras. I'm still trying to get things right. But don't think of chumras as some crazy, you know, it's taken on bad connotations, because there are chumras and there are chumras. Right? So, I don't know. Let's give a woman example. I hope I'm going to get into trouble now. But just like I would love for my wife not to wear a shaker and only to wear a head covering. That she's a wonderful wife. That's the only thing she doesn't listen to me in. And because in her mind, it would be my gather of don't look crazy.
Like in the world she's in, she, in her social circles or the way she was brought up or what she was taught, she feels like she's doing something crazy, like the guy wearing a talis by mincha. That's how she feels. Okay, I hear, but that's, no, so again, that's a chumrah. That's a chumrah. Some people, and then you only have the guys out there saying it's not a chumrah, it's me'ikr hadin, you have to do it. And you say, well, but in past generations they wore shaitels, right? So you got this whole dynamic. So you, but if you lack of tznius in other areas, and I once actually told a woman who wanted to dress a certain way that it's a lack of tznius. She said, a lack of tznius? It's super duper tznua. I said, yeah, you're calling attention to yourself. So if you call attention to yourself, that's a lack of tznius. A woman should not call attention to herself. So I think I talked her out of it. Ukvari tiru lanu sachazal. Life is tough. I'm sorry if I'm like, it's tough. You know, Baruch Hashem, if you're zochem, by the way, most people don't even think about these things. If you're zochem to think about these things and make decisions and decide, should I take this on? Should I? First of all, you can come ask me. I mean, I wrote those series of articles 2 years ago because people are very puzzled about the Mahadran label in Hashgachas. Is that a Chumrah? Is that Meikar HaDin? What does it mean, Mahadran? Come on, it's either kosher or it's not kosher. I'm like, well, what do you mean, Mahadran? And so I tried to explain it in those articles what it means. But that's a decision you make, you know, that's like a reflection of Yirah Shemayim. Up to a certain point. Then you get to a certain point where you're just trying to show off, or you're doing it because you want to be more frum than your neighbor. And like, everybody has to find their own comfort level, and you know, what's what they consider a chumrah and what's a crazy chumrah. Everybody will have their own definition for different things. I think if we keep the rule of thumb is A, make sure you're keeping the basics, and B, make sure your motivation is pure. And you're not just, like the silliest thing in the world, and the Chayim Zalmanis would say, is to copy a chumrah that someone else is doing. Like, that would be the most ludicrous thing to do, because a chumrah is a chumrah by definition. And if you're not holding by it and you're not motivated to do it, you know, you want to copy someone in the primary obligations of a Jew in Shulchan Aruch, or what you're mechuyev to do or what you're not allowed to do. That's wonderful. Oh, I see my neighbor did that, and I asked, and I found out you really have to do that. Wow, thank you. But if you copy your neighbor in a chumrah, that doesn't, it's not, Hashem is not pleased. You're not doing Hashem a favor, you're not doing yourself a favor. The definition of a chumrah, the value of a chumrah, the value of a chumrah will be the motivation of it, not the act itself, by definition. Except maybe, okay, if it's a siog, the motivation is good. And yeah, okay. And we have things like Chazal encourage things like Mosifin Nechol Al Hakodesh, Eid to Shabbos. That's a chumrah, that's extra. It's extra. You don't use the word chumrah anymore. It's extra. I'm making Shabbos earlier. I'm not talking about in the summer, where there's other motivations for doing it. But you know, you want to add, you want to bring Shabbos into your life more. V'hatosefes b'tzom. Here's a perfect example. Fasting. In the Gemara, there are many contradictions throughout Shas. I'm talking about now personal fastings. People fast. They want to do tshuva, they just want to fast, they want to daven for something, and they feel they're more spiritual, they're fasting. And in the Gemara, there's so many contradictions in the Gemara. It's like a perfect example of a chumrah, because there's many contradictions in the Gemara, whether that person's a kadosh or a chote, whether it's a good thing to do or a bad thing to do. You're hurting yourself, you're harming your body. But if your motivation is pure and you're not going to, look, we're not talking if you're going to get sick from it, mamish, because obviously if you're going to get sick from it, you should not do it. It's an aveira to do. But still you're weakening your body, and Hashem doesn't want you to fast. When Hashem wants you to fast, He tells you it's Yom Kippur. You know, if He wanted you to fast, He would have made every Monday and Thursday a fast. On the other hand, that some Gemaras call such a person Kadosh. So there it's very simply boils down to your motivation for fasting, and if it will make you be weak and not be able to fulfill your primary obligations throughout the day, right? So then we have the rule, no, if you're not, you can't have the extra things spoil or ruin your primary obligations. But Chazal is saying we are encouraged to fast again, but the idea, so it's with the right motivation. Ubetfila, you know, the Gemara says a lashon of Rabbi Yochanan, halavai sheyispalel adam kol hayom kulo. How that translates halachically is not, you know, is a discussion. But certainly, the more you daven, the greater it is. The more, I mean, there are people that talk to Hashem throughout the day, which is good. Again, don't let people hear you. If you let people hear you, first of all, they'll think you're nuts, or again, then your motivation might become suspect. Chavis Alavis throughout the Sefer is always pushing for anonymity, and no one should know what you're doing. He says that's the purest, the most golden actions you can do, the ones most pleasing to Hashem. And this is tough. It's tough. If you think about it, you'll see how tough it is. The most valuable actions to Hashem are the ones that no one else knows about. No one knows about it but you and Hashem. So, okay, kids to know about it maybe for chinuchi reasons. Good. You want your spouse to know about it because maybe you want the spouse to sort of match what you're doing to raise the level of ruchnius in the house. But conceptually, anonymity is like the most highly prized, very, very highly prized. It's on a whole different level, he says. That shows it's slave. That's one of the things he says. That shows it's slave. If your motivation, it shows your motivations are pure, and the Icarus Chavis Halavavos, and that shows you that your heart's in the right place. Sometimes I tell people they're allowed to give more than Meiser at Stalka, they get like shocked. What? Can I take this out of Meiser? It's okay to ask the question, I don't want to scare you away. But you give more Stalka, you're not going to lose out. No one ever lost out from giving more Stalka, so that's encouraged. The Azov Haribu Mimoser Hamazon. Yeah, you can pass off the Viennese table. You can pass up dessert. Again, if you don't make a big deal out of it, and you think of it as exercising your self-control muscle, and what do I need this? I don't really need this. It's not going to help me in my avodas Hashem. Well, let me pass it up. Don't do it on Shabbos. On Shabbos, turn it... I mean, maybe... I'm not telling you what to do, but on Shabbos, you can have your cake and eat it too. You could say, let me try to eat this cake for the right reason. I'm honoring the Shabbos. I'm enjoying the Shabbos. This is helping me enjoy the Shabbos. And sometimes doing something for the right reason is much harder than not doing it at all. Sometimes it's easier to pass up the cake than to eat it because it's a way of honoring Shabbos. What? You're talking about now Hilchus diet, or you're talking about Hilchus? I'm talking on Shabbos. He says, give it up, give up things, mimoser hamazon hamutarim lanu. He's talking about doing extra things, doing chumras. So I'm saying on Shabbos, it might, here's a perfect example. On Shabbos, it might not be a good thing to do. On Shabbos, you might be dishonoring the Shabbos, because part of the onik Shabbos is having a nice dessert. I'm giving an example of how you always have to be alert. Not always is passing up the good dessert.
She's talking about the health food. No, but what if you feel good that you can give it up?
Yeah, why do you feel good? Because you're patting yourself on the back? So maybe if the alternative is to honor Shabbos, here's a perfect example where you're not doing again, that's why these things are subjective many times. Even if we take, the Chavizlov doesn't say the word dessert, he says moiser hamazon. I'm saying a dessert, and I'm giving an example, so pass up dessert. That's a good thing to do. Torah encourages that. Now again, maybe on Shabbos though you shouldn't. Maybe on Shabbos you should use it for your avodas Hashem and say, this will help me enjoy Shabbos more. And usually what people do when they end up, the whole family ends up suffering. Because they don't want to have everyone sitting there enjoying the cake while they're not eating. So nobody ends up with dessert. There's zero. Okay. Shabbos is Shabbos, you know. It's Onyx Shabbos. Again, Onyx Shabbos is. We could spend hours now talking about Onyx Shabbos, because Onyx Shabbos is a very difficult thing to do. Am I enjoying the cake or am I enjoying Shabbos? What am I enjoying? But you see, the Torah and Chazal held that if I have pleasure on Shabbos, I will be able to relate to Shabbos better, not worse. It will be easier for me to relate to Shabbos, not harder. Very interesting, right? They want you to have good food Shabbos. There are dinim that you have to eat. You know, we have a traditional Friday night menu. I mean, most people do, right? Chicken soup, gefilte fish, or salmon nowadays. I don't know what they eat. And chicken and kugel, that's not halacha. If you learn the halacha, you're supposed to eat what you want, what you enjoy. My wife's supposed to serve me hot dogs. That's what my wife's supposed to serve me Friday night. And you're supposed to, some people should buy steak if that's what they enjoy. That is the halacha. The halacha is you're supposed to buy Shabbos what you enjoy eating. Okay, I'm not talking about that angle of it now. Now I'm talking about, it's hard. It's really hard, you know, because you're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. But are you enjoying Shabbos? Or are you enjoying the cake? Are you enjoying the steak? Are you enjoying the hot dog? But you see that the Torah held that, and this has to be worked on. You Pinkus' farm, you have to read about Shabbos. The Torah held that that's a good way to honor Shabbos. And obviously it's not going to be an impediment to honoring Shabbos, but it'll be an aid, A-I-D. If you are in a good mood Shabbos, and you enjoy, and you're doing a Lekavot Shabbos, and Shabbos HaMalka, and that's a good thing to do on Shabbos. So, and the halacha reflects that, for sure, and you're supposed to spend money to buy the food that you like. My experience, maybe that's changing now, because I don't know, I don't know so much what other people are doing anymore regarding these things. But when I grew up, there was a traditional Shabbos menu. No one would think of like buying food that they like. You stick to this. But really, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is buy the food that you like to eat on Shabbos. Maybe more. I see a lot of people have salmon. They don't make a filter fish anymore. They have salmon. Okay, omega-3 they eat, okay. There's hero, al hashvua b'shem afilu ala emes, not to swear, that became verboten, even for the truth. Umeharbos hadvorim, oh boy, not to talk a lot, we could talk a lot about that. Afiyum liun nimlotim and akozov, even if you'll be careful not to lie. He's going through chumras that we see the Torah encourages. Don't talk about people. Even if you're not talking Lashon Hara, don't talk about people. You're just going to get into trouble. It's trouble. It's a chumrah. Don't talk about people. Get into the habit of not talking about people. Don't overly praise someone. You're asking for trouble. V'muroy lakach, maybe yes. V'shelo yasaper begnus hamakatrim v'yimosem afilum ruyim lakach. Even if it is okay to talk begnus someone, it's not the biggest mitzvah in the world. You don't have to do it. V'harbe min adoma l'sem. So these are all examples of extra things that are you see the Torah encourages, and it's good to do.
Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue next time with the paragraph, mark it down. Veroy, now he's going to go into a whole another list of